So, Indian Twitter turned on us. Well, I can't even say turned on us, because the way they was coming at us, like they were never on our side. So
They were holding that back for a
they've
while.
been
They had
holding it
that in the chamber.
back.
That shit
So
was right in the chamber waiting.
So if y'all don't know what we're talking about, basically, some black Twitter user, quote tweeted a video of a group of Indians dancing, and he said some along the lines of, "I bet it smelled wild in there." The tweet got traction. Was it mildly offensive? A little bit. I would say it was a little mildly offensive, but like, I mean, and I know like, I get. Let me land the plane. I know. I'd like. I know like something like brown people like have like a stigma to like like the they're just not smelling well, not smelling good, and all that stuff. Was it a little offensive? Yeah, but it did not warrant the mass response that it got. Oh my God, they was pulling all sorts of niggers and porch monkeys and moon crickets and groundhogs out they sorries and just launching it across the keyboard to the other side. Girl. Ooh, God. Like the curry had a little bit more kick to it. Like, ooh.
They've been waiting. They were waiting.
I'm about to change the paneer to panigier so niggas won't eat it.
And they I was like, yo, y'all use some slurs that I ain't heard in a fortnight. Like, what the hell?
In a whole
Oh
video
my
game.
God. Like, I haven't heard this shit since what? Since a period piece.
Like you actually have to like go to the library and open up a book to find some of the slurs that they was throwing.
Exactly. Some of the shit I was like, let me Google. Oh shit. They used to say this?
Infant of the dirt? What?
Oh, I'm sorry. That tweet where it was
Ooh.
like, racism be funny sometimes, child. That's just what it is
No,
with that
but
one.
the
'Cause
one that the
wow.
one that took the cakewalk, which originated from slavery, the one that took the cake was, drumroll please, night skin. When I saw that, I was like, night skin? That shit
Who
sound
the
kind of fly.
fuck thinks of that? Oh my God.
Some of the people in the Avies that was using that shit, like, about as dark as us.
Darker, child. Darker.
Darker. Calling us night skin, bro.
Like the self-awareness, baby. Come on.
Like focus on why like brown people who look like you will never be put like front and center in one of the Bollywood videos. Like
Oh,
focus like
well.
focus on that. Like not
Child.
some like very mild a mildly offensive joke. Like mild. Like that shit was mid. Like like oh my God. I'm just reminded of that the video. I don't know if you saw the video of the little kid, the little Indian kid. You've been like, I don't like niggers.
Oh my God, yes.
Just picture that, but most of Indian Twitter.
Yep.
And then I just sit and think about like I just think about the days of the image of the African lady and the Indian lady sit like all dressed up beautiful, and I think that the meme was, when a queen and another queen like come together to prioritize their joint slay. And I'm like, why can't we go back to those days? Why can't we go back to those days? Oh, that's what y'all was hiding underneath the that's what y'all was hiding underneath all them pretty robes. Anti-blackness. Y'all food
Oh,
still
God
slap
bless.
though. I'm still grab me a
Oh,
man
all the
curry
time.
up the
All the
street.
time.
Yeah, like, hey.
Butter chicken is that girl. Sorry. I don't care.
With the garlic naan and a mango lassi at on the side, bitch. Night Skin. I don't even.
Legendary.
Y'all slap with that one. I bet they mad. It's like, we called them Night Skin and they're just calling themselves. Like,
okay, nigga, we gotta start.
Like, white people been doing this to us like for centuries. Like,
and, literally.
They mad we were claimed a slur in less than 24 hours. Unstoppable. Dynasty, Young Hova.
Nigga, this is a 7-minute cold open. How we gonna trim this?
We won't, because it's the 100th episode. And they did.
Oh my God, it is.
And they deserve some extra heat from us.
It is. Wow.
Drop that fucking intro, ho. It's me, I'm the ho. Welcome to Big Boy Brunch, where topics get tasted. I am Lolo Von Z, that is L-O-L-O-V-O-N-Z, is L-O-L-O-V-O-N-Z, that is L-O-L-O-V-O-N-Z, that is Lo Von Z, a.k.a. the Liberian Aquarian. That's also water. Because the kitchen set. What? A.k.a. the Joel of Connoisseur. A.K.A. the patron saint of Crunchyroll passwords. A.K.A. the jack of all trades who jacks off all trade. A.K.A. Boom Cat Cat Karat, because win or lose, there's always another Dragon Ball. A.K.A. Lola Rambo, New Monica. A.K.A. Black Dynamite. Don't you interrupt my kung fu! A.K.A. MODOK. A.K.A. Watcher. Hey, Big Head, a.k.a. Shang-Chi and the Ten Cock Rings, a.k.a. your first choice for a verse voice. And now, it is time to introduce the hostess with the mostest, my work husband, till copyright infringement do us part, Mr. Dre. It's our anniversary, Dre. It's our anniversary. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Welcome to the 100th episode, where all your desires will be fulfilled.
Fulfilled. Fulfilled.
Do it like it's your anniversary. And
baby. What up, Hurricane Dre? Still NOLA adjacent?
Yeah, very adjacent, thank God. But nigga, I am doing well. I cannot believe it's been 100 episodes. Wow. We've been at it for a while. I love that for us.
Yeah.
100.
I mean, I thought you should have been blocked me. Just.
I can never.
Oh. I like it.
But yes, I'm doing well. I'm feeling well. Yeah. Wow. A milestone. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. That's all I can say. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being had.
Now, what is this 100th episode brunch looking like? I know he about to show out.
All right. So, we got a dope brunch for y'all today. We have my favorite. I had to go to my favorite. Got some cinnamon sugar pancakes with some honey butter. Topped with honey butter. A little bit more cinnamon sugar on top with some crispy bacon, sunny side up eggs, and we got some crisp bubbly on the side. We love it.
Love it.
All right, now time to the filth. Time for the filth. Moving on to a heaping helping of blurred news, and we've got a lot today, in a segment I like to call Nerdy Nuggets, Nightmare on Felt Street.
Wow, horror. Love it. Is this going to be the whole month? Are we going to do horror shit the whole month?
Mabes.
Definitely.
So, I am so very happy.
Por qué?
The Digivolution is up and running. Did you see? Did you hear? Did you know it was coming, nigga?
The only reason why I know is because of you. Only.
Digimon Ghost Game will be simulcast on Crunchyroll alongside the release of the show in Japan. This is fantastic news for Digimon fans as the latest installment will be accessible on the streaming platform. The latest show from the franchise features new Digimon and characters in a brand new mystery-oriented story. Y'all the Illuminati and y'all, this shit is...
This is orientated is black culture, please. This is what
in
we said.
In a brand new mystery-orientated story for the Digimon universe. The new Digimon Ghost Game follows after the Digimon Adventures reboot finished its run after 67 episodes. Put a pin in that because I got a bone to pick with them niggas after this. The Digimon Adventure 2020 was a 20th anniversary creation that allowed a fresh take of the story that first debuted in 1999. There have been various shows that are separate from the events of the Adventure storyline, which have no connection to Tai and the other Digidestined. Digimon Ghost Game will start a new adventure that will enter Digimon into a new era. Three new Digimon, along with their tamers, will be representing this new show. These new Digimon include Gamamon, Angoramon, the Floof, and Jellymon. Gamamon will be the mascot of the show and clearly has a Tricera-based design. Jellymon is a very defined jellyfish Digimon. However, the most interesting Digimon is Angoramon, since this Digimon is based on the Angora rabbit, despite looking like a Yeti. So much floof. Alright, so, real quick on the synopsis. In a little near future, when a new technology has developed. In a little near future, when a new technology has developed, on social networking sites, rumors of an unknown strange phenomenon called hologram ghosts are flying around. First-year junior high school student Hiro activates a mysterious device called Digivice left by his father. As a result, he's able to see unknown creatures called Digimon that are invisible to ordinary people. From the day he met Gamamon, a mischievous Digimon entrusted to him by his father, he becomes involved in a variety of bizarre phenomena. The mouth-sewing man who steals human time, the mummy man who wanders around at night and kidnaps people, the hologram ghosts are right next to us, and they're out to get us. What follows is a story of the other side of the world that no one knows. Together with Gamamon and his friends, Hiro steps into the mysterious world where Digimon live. I know you be hating on Digimon, but bro, you love that spooky shit. And I think like if you take the time to maybe watch like the first episode, I think you'd be rocking with it. Cause yo, this clock Digimon just comes up out the sky on some he's basically like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer villain. He pops up.
Anytime.
No, wait, let me land the plane. Let me land the plane. So this dude called Clock Man, he's got like this sewn mouth shut dude, and he's riding on top of a clock, and he like creeps up on niggas and like steals time from them. So they'll be like 15 years old, and like he'll hit them with the hammer and like just, you know, and take time from them. And then when he's done, he sucks the life out of them, and they turn into like, and they pull up like old people. They turn out to, they looking like they got one foot in the grave. Shit is wild. Like I live for Digimon when it goes super dark like this, and like all straight out the bat, they're like, oh my god, they turn their kids into old people. And in the second episode, they got a mummy Digimon like snatching people up. Yo, how can you not at least be intrigued by it?
My interest is piqued, but I was gonna say anytime Lorenzo wants me to get to watch something, he will say, you know, it's like Buffy.
Exactly.
Because that nigga knows. That nigga knows. So I'll exactly. be like, this sounds, you know, close. This sounds like his judge. Yeah.
It's like
and it is.
It's like Digimon meets Scooby Doo meets Courage the Cowardly Dog meets Buffy.
There we go. Put Buffy in there. Right on the end.
I like the fact that the new Digivice is like a wrist communicator, and it's mm-hmm. I do plan to get one. It's basically a Digimon Fitbit, and the way it works is you start out with the Digimon a child Digimon, and you walk around with the Fitbit, and the amount of steps you get in a day determines what your Digimon turns into. So if you do a lot of steps during the day, like you'll get a dope ass big strong Digimon. If you don't do as many, like the Digimon they turn into, you know, won't be giving as much. So, you know, which somewhat feels kind of ableist, but anyway, I'm not like put a pin in that. But it looks interesting. It looks and they got different colors. I'm definitely getting the blue one. Definitely getting the blue mm-hmm. one when I got the scratch. Like I'm excited. I'm really excited for this. Gamamon is so goddamn cute. Oh my god, I live for Gamamon. I know I'm gonna love the other two, but Gamamon is so cute. Oh my god, you're gonna love him. And the fact that in the opener we get to see that he starts off with three different slide evolutions. And it's kind of like it's similar to season two, where they had like Digi Eggs, and they could, and the main people they could transform into two, you know, like the way Vemon could transform into Flame Dramon and Rage Dramon. This is kind of like that, but Gamamon gets three different transformations, like, cause he is that Digimon. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that the other two, Angoramon and Jellymon, will get slide evolutions as well. I think my only critique is we get a small tease of Angoramon's evolved form. And while I love the design, I don't like the fact that they slimmed him down so much. Like they turned him, like, it was like, oh my god, my big floof, and then it transformed him into like a twink floof. And I'm like, I think they do things like that to kind of like alter, like, oh, first he was big, now they're small, and then first they were small, now they're big. So I hopefully, you know, he eats a little bit more for the next evolution, because that would be cool. And Jellymon's evolved form, it's okay. Maybe we only got a tiny snippet of it, but it just kind of looks like a large version of Jellymon. We'll see, because we didn't get a. I like the fact that they didn't tease, you know, like the other two, they kind of teased it, so we wouldn't like know off the bat. But you know, I'm excited. I'm excited for those. So Digimon Ghost Game, and I think after, I'm gonna give it like three episodes. And I think in about 3 weeks, like the third week in October, we'll do a review of like the first three episodes, so we can get a feel of like the team and all that stuff. And we, you know, and usually in Digimon, we don't always get an evolution in the episode one. We didn't get an evolution. Gamamon didn't digivolve in episode one, but if they don't digivolve in episode one, they usually digivolve in either the main Digimon will evolve in like two or three. So you know, we'll give it like three episodes to see what it's giving, and you know, we'll give a more in-depth review then. But know that I am excited.
We could never think you weren't.
Mm-hmm. And while we're still on the subject of Digimon, Digimon Adventure 2020, which I still haven't finished yet because like the writing is just not giving, but I got a beef to pick with y'all, a bone to pick with y'all. So the main villain in this show has a very interesting name. It's described as living quietly in jet black darkness. And the Digimon's name is spelled N-E-G-A-M-O-N and pronounced Negamon. So we getting it from the Japanese, we getting it from the Indians, like we just catching strays all over. Negamon, did no one stop to think that maybe this was not the best use of the N, the G, the E, the A, like bro, Negamon, jet black darkness. It's giving macro aggression. It's giving mega supersize aggression.
This is just
and all the Digidestins, none of whom have been black, by the way. Well, except for one in season two, and he had like maybe three lines. None of them have been black, and they out here fighting like they using all their holy angel power to fight a nigga, quite literally. To stop a nigga from spreading their jet blackness all over the world. I got a bone to pick with y'all. So, y'all need to fix that. Well, I mean, not fix it. I mean, it's over. It's done with. But I got my eye on you. Y'all better not pull none of that shit in this new season. Because, nigga, what the fuck? It's giving Sailor Moon and, like, the Negaverse. Like, what?
That shit is just so funny to me.
Moving on. Jeez. All right, from Ghost Game to Squid Game. Squid Game's popularity is a bit of a surprise to even Netflix themselves, because while Korean dramas have huge followings, and a number of the ones available on the streaming service have taken off with fans, this one seems to have broken through to a multi-generational pop culture at large. This is tough for even the most hyped of series and movies making their debut on Netflix. So why is this one such a surprise hit? It's because of that, well, I wouldn't say incredible first episode. It was horrifying. A good pilot can bring anybody into a series, but a great one keeps them going through word of mouth. Squid Game introduces a premise that many can unfortunately relate to in these harsh economic times. The series' first episode introduces us to Seong Gi-hun, a father who has been divorced by his wife and lost custody of his daughter because of his history of joblessness and gambling troubles. Though as the series continues, we learn how nuanced his situation truly is. No matter what he does, it seems neither he or his mother can completely get out of their debt troubles, so Gi-hun then decides to just keep living as is rather than truly face his problems head on. That is until he gets invited to play a strange game where he can either win tons of money or be slapped in the face. Not only is this approach inherently interesting to the audience, but it also proves how far Gi-hun is willing to go for even the chance at winning some money. This already demonstrates the kind of person he is, and things get even more interesting when the actual game begins and we get to know him even more. The game itself is super intriguing as well, as it features quite the elaborate setup. And it's revealed that every contestant has not only been through the same recruiting process as Gi-hun, but has mountains of debt as well. Then the main conceit starts to reveal itself. It's a faux type of equality. By playing this game, it's said that every person has the chance for a better life than they can actually get in the real world. But then it's revealed that this is just another cruel facet of how unlucky life really is, as each game comes with a brutal cost. A brutal cost that's blanketed by the juxtaposition of a cartoonishly childish game and packaging. It's this blend of high intensity, economic struggle, and slight playfulness masking those harsh realities that makes for an incredible first episode. Dre, I'm gonna let you go first, because I need to gather myself, because this show was entirely too much for me. I haven't finished it yet. I'm on like episode 5. Because, like, this is, like, too intense for me.
Okay, so I don't want to spoil too much, I guess. Yeah.
We can just talk about the first episode.
The first episode, Bitch, do what? I mean, I don't know if I could just talk about the first episode. You go first, because I don't know if I could just talk about the first, because this shit was wild, and like it got very dark.
We can do like the first three or so.
Okay.
Like, so I went in relating to the problems of the main character and everyone else, like, you know, like a bitch got bills on bills on bills piling up. And I'm slowly working through it, but you know, it's just like, ugh, just they're all over my head. But the fact that this guy would, you know, do anything, damn near anything, to get some money, like he get like the little bit of money that he gets, like that he manages to scrape. He gambles, you know, he lies, you know, he just, he does a whole bunch of things. And it's like, it was tough because like, I went into this show, like not really liking this main character. And then it slowly hit me like why he was doing all the things he did. You know, this guy is like from the bottom of the bottom, like, and this is somebody who's hit rock bottom. And you know, like, so much so that he would literally like shake the hand of like some random person, like, oh yeah, I'll do this game thing, you know, if it means to win money. So I related to him, but like also just watching him was so very frustrating. Because like, dude is shady as fuck, like shady as fuck, you know, like. Like lying to his mother, stealing from his mother, lying to his, like just
to his daughter,
ex-wife, like just so many things. But it's this shadiness and this cunning that, you know, allows him to navigate the game the way he does. So,
I just think when it comes down to it, you know, like his gambling problem was a big thing, and like how, you know, after he won, because I was having this conversation, I was just like how he was, his daughter, you know, wanted something simple. Like his mom said, simple. Get your daughter some fried chicken and she'll be happy. And after he won his money, he was like, oh, I'm going to just buy you all these things, anything, get the most expensive things, yada, yada, yada. And like, nigga, fried chicken would have been fine, but you got so excited that you did that. And then, you know, like you were saying, and then it ended up that because of a turn of events, he couldn't get her. He could basically get her nothing for the most part. And like you said, like, yeah, I get the whole debt thing and da-da-da. But like, I think afterward, like, hearing more, like hearing about, you know, what his wife said, about how, like, you know, he was there for his coworker, but he wasn't there for her when she, like, almost died giving birth and shit. And he was like, oh, yeah, my coworker died. And I was like, girl, I get it. Like, I get that was a traumatic experience. But also, bitch, your wife almost died giving birth to your daughter. And you were just like, why can't you understand that, basically? It wasn't like, yo, I fucked up. It was just like, oh, this is the reason why. And, like, I don't know why you keep bringing that up. So it got to me, it was like, yo, so like your priorities are fucked up. And like, he was so desperate. And then not only him, but like so many people were so desperate that they, one, like the first episode introduces you to how fucked up this game is. Like you realize how fucked up this game is. But then like, so people voted to leave, right?
Yep.
There was like, how many were there? There were 201 people, I think. 201. And they, like, if the majority votes to leave, they can leave, no questions asked. They'll just gas you and put you out somewhere so you don't know how you left or where you came from, right? So the majority voted to leave. Out of 201, 101 voted to leave, 100 voted to stay. After that, they gave them another chance to come back. Do you know how many people came back? 187.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the 201. So like, they chose people who were desperate enough to play a game where they knew that it was either money or die.
Or death.
Like, they knew that they could die, but they were willing to risk their lives because of how shitty their lives were. I was like, yo, they really were preying on people. And because, you know, Lorenzo, you haven't seen much, but, like, you know, as you get further into the episode, you see how twisted this shit is. And it gets even more fucked up. And, like, the characters are even more fucked up. Like, the shit these niggas are willing to do. It's wild.
It's just giving, it's, you know, like, I'm like, I haven't even finished it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
This is a means of population control.
Nigga, it's fucking... Get the pores out of here.
Because they can't just pull up. They can't just pull up in the ghetto and start spraying. They gotta like they gotta pull them behind closed doors and like give them and trick them into thinking they're getting an option, and then kill them underground and then just, you know.
But I will say this, you know how like when you watch series and you're like, oh, when you get to the end of it, you're like, you know, mildly satisfied about something. Nigga, when I got to the end of this series, I was not satisfied with anything. I was mad. I was very upset. I'll just say that. So
yeah, if you I wouldn't expect a show like this to have a happy ending.
Yeah, no, it's just at the end you're just like, bitch, what the fuck? The only thing that they leave more room, they leave room for a sequel, like another season.
No. This would be it for me. That is too much fucking like. It's I would rather watch the entire Saw series than Squid Game.
It is, honestly, it's less fucking graphic. Because
this just feels like it could happen in real life.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. But that is Squid Game. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
If you want to check it out.
If you want to get pissed off on a, you know, on Monday.
You know, several levels.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be walking the streets like Grimes, like with the Karl Marx book.
Oh, and my God. That girl. Anyway.
Take me back, Daddy. Moving on.
Oh, God.
The upcoming Brawler video game, aptly titled Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, has revealed that Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender is seemingly the final character in the game's launch roster. The highly anticipated video game is set to release for the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series XIX, Xbone, PC, and Nintendo Switch on October 5th, and brings with it a number of characters from different Nickelodeon franchises. With Toph, that brings the total number of Avatar characters to 3, given that Aang and Korra were both previously revealed. As you might expect, Toph's moves largely revolve around bending Earth and generally just physically beating on opponents. You can check out the gameplay trailer for Toph in the title via IGN. This is on comicbook.com, and the developer has helpfully shared her full move list on social media at Nick Brawl Game. So, previously revealed fighters for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl include characters from the likes of SpongeBob SquarePants, TMNT, Hey Arnold, Invader Zim, Danny Phantom, The Loud House, Real Monsters, Rugrats, Avatar The Last Airbender, The Legend of Korra, and more. So it's basically Nickelodeon Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. Like it's so funny because like I do recognize all these. I'm like, a lot of these are from like the golden age of Nickelodeon, and then The Loud House is just, oh, for the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you old nigga. Like, some kids would be like, The Loud House, yay!
And if you look at the trailer, it literally, like, even the way the niggas get, like, hit and the way they fly off, like, it's definitely giving Smash Brothers.
But, yeah, they're like, why not? Like, y'all niggas have had this game for what? Y'all niggas have had this franchise for over 20 years. Like, why can't we, you know, why can't we just, you know, capitalize off that shit? And like, it makes sense. PlayStation tried doing that a couple years ago, where they had a game with like Kratos and like a bunch of niggas from like the PlayStation universe. I don't know how well it did, but yeah, I mean, why not? It's like, you know, just like have a toy box where with all your properties you play in.
I'm not gonna lie, this shit seems dope as hell. Like, I can't lie.
I like my main would be Danny Phantom, like for real. Like
that's not a bad one.
Danny Phantom is the fucking homie. I know my brother's main would be SpongeBob. Who would be your main?
Honestly, it would probably be Toph because I love Toph so much.
She's like, fun.
I love her. And to be able to earthbend, nigga, while playing, yeah. Oh hell. That's my shit.
I do like the fact that Korra, like I think Korra and Aang like have all, they have access to all four elements.
Really? That's dope.
I was checking out Korra's move list and I'm like, oh shit, she got air, she got earth, she got fire, she got water. I'm like, oh,
I know that's right.
Who the fuck? don't let her become the Meta Knight of this universe.
But they also have, like, some of the, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, like, I'm like, girl, that's also an option. Like, also, it was hilarious. I don't know if you remember Powder Toast Man. Do you remember him?
Who the fuck is that?
look him up. So, Powder Toast Man was this character. God, what was he? He was, like... He was on Ren and Stimpy. Ren and Stimpy.
Yes.
And he was like one of the side characters. And he was so fucking weird. He was just like a man, a superpowered man with toast head. And
when I Googled him, the second picture that popped up was an image of him pointing to his ass. Yes. With sparkles and glitter and shit.
Yep. Exactly like that. So that shit was like, they're just so many characters.
Was the creator of Ren and Stimpy like queer? Because like he was like,
he had to have been, or they, whoever it was, had to have been.
Because like there was so much homoeroticism in his shit.
Absolutely. And then afterward, when they remade the show, it was like blatant. Ren and Stimpy were partners. So I was like, yeah, something.
Like, there's like this episode of like this like large muscular man like taking a like. Dropping a giant load in the bathroom. And it's like, God. And it's like very, very, like you see like the him like straining in the, I'm like, yo, just say you like dick. Like you ain't gotta, do all this extra shit. God damn. John Krafalski. Let me,
what'd you find out?
Abuse allegations? Yikes.
Oh, God. All right. Well, there's
all
that.
Right. Well, moving on. But, oh, my God. I can't wait to play as Danny Phantom.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, you hate to see it. All right. Moving on. In movie news, Venom, Let There Be Carnage roared to 90.1 million in its debut, setting a new pandemic record. It's an impressive result, one that provides a lifeline to struggling movie theaters and, once again, proves Marvel's might at the box office. The much darker Venom follow-up comes from Sony Pictures and is separate from Disney's Marvel Cinematic Universe, which recently delivered Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings and Black Widow, the two highest-grossing films of the year, at the domestic box office. If its first 3 days in theaters are any indication, Venom 2 looks on track to join those blockbusters as 2021's biggest earners. Movie theaters have been brought to their knees. near economic ruin because of the pandemic. And one of the saviors of the movie film industry is Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
That headline will only make sense in this time.
We are in the darkest timeline! I haven't even seen the movie yet, but nigga, like I watched one of the clips. Venom like is at a rave. He's got the fucking, he's like, he got like glow sticks and shit. Like, what?
The girls are desperate to see anything.
Do you care about spoilers for this movie? Because I kind of just want to get it out of the way.
No.
All right, spoilers for Venom 2. Skip ahead like maybe 3 minutes if you don't want to hear this. Because I just looked it up. 3, 2, 1. So at the very end, the end credits scene, whoop-de-fucking-do, Venom is like somebody shows up and it's like, hey girls, there's multiple dimensions and shit. And they get zapped to Spider-Man's dimension, and they get zapped there right when J. Jonah Jameson reveals that Spider-Man is Peter Parker. So all these bitches is connected now, which I had a feeling was gonna happen. And I'm like, oh my god, everybody's like spoiling this. I mean, Sony and Marvel, like, been trading Spider-Man bars like they got a bottom bunk in a two-man cell for a couple of years now. So, like, it was only, like, this was going to happen. Like, I'm just like, it was kind of inevitable at this point. Like, you can't just have Venom without Spider-Man forever, you know, so. And the fact that Spider-Man is wearing a black suit in the No Way Home trailer in this new movie, I think it'll be interesting because, like, now with Venom, you know, like we maybe in the next movie or the next, you know, something, he'll get another black suit, but it'll be like an evil Venom suit. So, and hopefully, at least with like Marvel taking the reins, like we'll have some better writers, hopefully. So, that'll be interesting. Oh, he's getting his mic ready. Okay.
Oh, no, not to say anything. Come. All I have to say is amen. Because look.
We have suffered for too long. We have suffered long and hard.
It is time.
All right. So y'all can stop complaining. Now, I mean, well, that still doesn't mean that, like, the next iteration of Venom will be better, but exactly. Can y'all stop complaining that, like, all right, him and Spider-Man going like fight or whatever, like, calm down. Get over it. And one last thing, just something fun that I saw online. There's a video of Megan Thee Stallion turning as a vampire. Like, she wakes up in bed, like her friend like gets her a sandwich, and you know, she's eating it. She's like, ooh, what's on this? And she's like, garlic, your favorite. And she like coughs, and it's like she spits it. Like, girl, what's wrong with you? And then like, so she tries to open a window, and like it burns her arm. And she like she run into the bathroom like, oh my god, what the fuck, you know, and like it immediately heals up, and she's looking in the mirror, she's opening her mouth, and all of a sudden like fags pop out. She's like, oh girl, I got fags, girl, no, what the fuck, wait, her reflection disappears. It's like, oh shit, Megan's a vampire. I'm with it, you know, real vamp girl shit.
That yeah, shit was hilarious.
I'm in my bag, but I'm in your man's neck, too. That was hilarious. Oscar-worthy performance.
Honestly.
Live for it. I have no idea if it's like, if she just did it for fun for Halloween, or just, or if this is like a new music video, but I just thought it was funny. Like, more nerdy, like, you know, hip-hop girls doing, like, spooky shit. Because it is spooky season. It is definitely spooky
season.
It
is.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, with that, wraps up Nerdy Nuggets, Nightmare on Felt Street. We are going to take a little break, and when we come back, we got some reviews for y'all. So sit tight, and we will be right back. We're going to start with Titans this time, and then we'll do What If afterwards. Because once again, girl, Titans is... Love these girls, but oof. All right, so I'm going to read the synopsis, and then we can jump into it. Crane manipulates Gotham's citizens against the Titans through a video that frames Dick and his team for the toxin outbreak and places a bounty on them, while also presenting Red Hood as the city's new hero. To help the police maintain the trust of the public, Dick has the team turn themselves in. However, they are attacked at the station by officers under the command of Fletcher, who received a bribe from Jason. The team escapes, but Barbara is arrested for shooting Fletcher to save Dick. With the Titans forced into hiding, Crane and Jason take residence in Wayne Manor. Attempting to heal her sister's injuries from the attack, Corey has her powers absorbed by Blackfire. Gar reunites with a newly arrived Rachel. Donna also arrives in Gotham after the Amazons test for leadership abilities. Let's start with the good, because it's kind of a short list. I'm not even going to lie to you. Okay. I liked that Rachel and Gar are like reunited, you know, the besties forever. I just love seeing the two of them together as like the homies. Is there anything else that I liked? Damn, it's unfortunate, because like I just have a lot of just questions for this episode. Dre, was there anything you liked in this episode?
I like seeing Donna fight. Donna fight.
Yes.
I like that. God, I forgot what her name is. The one she was fighting. What's her name again?
One of the
old lady. Amazon. Yeah.
Amazon auntie, basically.
Yeah, I liked She's how. Amazon auntie. Yeah, I wish I knew her name, but I liked how they, you know, Donna was just, you know, she said, you know, I know you never liked me because I was part human, and she said, no, girl, actually, it's because, like, I push you hard because you're the best of us, you're of their world and our world, so, like. She was like, oh, yeah, actually, I don't dislike you. I just push you hard because you're the best of all of us. Although, like, with that, I hate the way y'all niggas do that.
It's giving biracial war vibes.
I hate the way y'all do that. Like, I'm just like, okay, girl, like, every time we get to a character that's being treated bad, they want to bring up that thing of, oh, yeah, I push you hard because...
I'm half creature and half human. That means I'm better than both of you. And that means it's up to us to save the entire... No.
But, like, just the fact that, like it's like these people can't think of anything more imaginative than, like, if I think that you're the best, I'm going to mistreat you. I'm just like, is there...
A nice angle to go by is if, like, because she knew she was of both worlds, she thought she was better than them, but they had to humble her, and she was like, oh, yeah, right, I'm no better or worse just because I'm from two different places.
Two different parents. That would have
been a little bit progressive.
That, cool. But I was specifically talking about, like, it's just always annoying because, like, this always comes up where people are like, in general, I mistreat you or I treat you a certain way that you don't like because I believe in you. I'm like, girl, you can get the best out of somebody in some other way than treating them like garbage. Like,
yeah. And the fact that it's the Mascara and it's like an all female, like, island or something like that. Like, like, no shade, like, women are supposed to be, like, you know, more emotionally intelligent. Like, that not, what's, how do I frame this without seeming like an ass? It's just, like, I just feel like, doing the whole tough love thing is, like, a man thing for me. And I feel like with the mascara, there would be a little bit more, like, softness and kindness and, like, understanding.
But you know what? Low-key, you see, now that you bring that up, I'm kind of torn.
I understand they're warriors, but like,
yeah, that like part. They could, you know what I mean?
They can fight even harder because they have that emotional intelligence, and I feel like
them scare them. You know, like women always bring up the fact that women are more emotionally intelligent, not because they naturally are, but because they're forced to be. Like, yes. You know, so like if they're not forced to be in Themyscira, it's like, okay, then they'll just develop like regular people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like warriors, I guess. So like that, but it's just like, I was just like, oh God, this thing again. Okay, girl, I get it. Y'all will throw somebody off a bridge if they're going to get stronger. Okay, got it. Okay, thanks. Great.
Mm-hmm. I like the sword that she had.
Oh, that sword was so cool. Mm-hmm. It was so dope.
It was also weird. I'm like, why is she walking to Gotham? She clearly has super speed. Like, niggas are dying, and she's just kind of very, very casually, like, hitting the Incredible Hulk TV series walk, you know, just to, like, you know, sticking her
right. I'm like, girl, speed up.
And, like, and when she finally gets to the barrier, she finally uses her superpowers. Like, girl, where was that? Like, if you're a Themysciran, like, you may not, like, girl, you could clear, like, 5 miles in, like, 3 minutes. At least. Good God. Anyway. Yeah, unfortunately, Donna was the highlight because everything else was kind of a mess. I didn't like the fact that they pushed the whole campaign to make Red Hood good, like to frame Red Hood as the superhero, as like the hero, and like Dick as the villain, because we haven't seen anything up to this point of Red Hood doing anything heroic or talking to the public, being like, I am, and I'm like, this makes zero sense. Like, to do this whole like viral video campaign, and people are just supposed to believe it. I'm like, had we started earlier in the season and Red Hood had actually done some like actual heroics, people would have believed that shit, and then they would have, you know, had Red Hood done some cool ass shit, like, you know, save some little kids and like snatched a cat out of a tree, and while at the same time making Dick and the gang look stupid. Like, I could understand people believing Red Hood over Dick, but I'm just like, out of nowhere, they're just supposed to, like, you take some videos of Dick fighting, like, goons, and it's like, oh, Dick has lied to you. And I'm like, he just looks like he's beating up some bad guys. Like, I'm very, very confused. Side note, the cod piece that Nightwing is wearing, like, it's a little too pronounced. Like, they could have left that at home. Like, it was giving it's giving Batman and Robin from the 90s. Other than that, I didn't understand that. When I thought the plot line of the Titans having to fight enhanced people who like took some fear gas was interesting, but it was just like, what, for one, the goons, like, they're like, I guess, super hyped up on this fear toxin that's in the water. They're like doing all this bendy shit with their bodies, and they're extra durable, which I didn't understand because I thought the fear was just supposed to make people scared or something like that. And also, when the Titans were fighting them, they were fighting them one at a time. I felt like, you know, if they like it, if the plot was to go with the way they wanted it, like the city was supposed to turn on the Titans, wouldn't they be fighting like a horde of them, a group of them at the same time? I feel like they would have been in like a big brawl where they had to like fight off like 8 or 10 of them at the same time. But instead, it's just like, one walks up and then the other walks up and then they fight and they go, and then one walks up and then the other walks up and then they fight and they go. I'm like, what is this? What is this? This fight scene is so badly directed. Like, this is not. And then they just like, And then it's like, oh yeah, there's too many of them. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. And they just casually walk away. I'm like, what? What? That y'all, like, y'all can't even make the escape look good. And here's another thing I don't like. When the Titans show up, it's never, like, it's never intense. They never really, like, make a statement. They just kind of very casually walk up, or they, like, pull up in the family SUV and just very, like, casually, like, step out. I mean, Starfire and Blackfire, they always look fabulous, but they just, like, very casually step about the car like they headed to the 40-40 club. Like, can we get some heroics? Can we get a heroic entrance and exit? Can we, like, can we get something? Like, I know y'all can't make them fly for whatever reason, but can we get some, like, jump, like, jumping into action? Can we get Superboy, like, doing some backflips? And can we get Garfield? Can Garfield finally transform into something other than a tiger? Can we have Garfield, like, flying through the air and then land? I'm like, come on. What are y'all doing? What? It's so boring. It is so boring just watching them walk up and very casually, and I know that they can do more, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? Ugh, it's annoying. Sorry. And I know I'm trying to keep these recaps to 10 minutes, but y'all got me hot. Dre, what you got?
I really just, like, I was annoyed at the way, you know, it seemed like Blackfire was, you know, on the up and up, and then the way they made her seem like, oh, well, actually not. At the last moment, I'm like, oh, God, here we go with this shit.
It wasn't even clear. It wasn't. Is she evil or is she not? But it's like, I'm like, if you want to make her evil, just make her evil. I'm like, I could understand that. You know, it could be her plan the whole time and her saying no. Like, just if that's what she wanted to do, girl, just, like, own it. And also, just own it, go all the way 100% with it. If she takes her powers, like, I was hoping we would see the scene where she finally, because, like, they've shown promo of Blackfire getting powers. I would have hoped that we would have seen, you know, like, if she had taken her powers, we would get to see Blackfire's version right then and there, and she, like, you know, we get to see, like, Blackfire energy. But it was just so, the scene was so muted, and I thought it was going to be, since it was going to be just the two of them in there, and, like, you know, it's like they're in church, it's like two black girls, they're in church and all that stuff, and they're, like, they're dealing with their sisterly issues, and I was expecting, like, a big, like, fight or something like that. But no, one of them just takes the other one's powers and the other one just limps away. I'm like, yo, who is in charge of this? I don't understand. Do we need to start a GoFundMe to, like, to fund some fight scenes? Like, do we need to Venmo y'all some money? These scenes are not giving. These, like, the acting is good, but, like, the fights just aren't giving, and I don't know why. Crank still put on the hood. Red Hood, like, the whole campaign to make Red Hood look like the hero. And we barely see him in the actual hood. When he finally gets the helmet on, he walks over, he's like, say my name, Red Hood. He has not done shit to earn the title of Red Hood. Oh my God, he hasn't done shit. I mean, the iconic scene where he, like, kills some people at the board meeting with all the evil dudes. But that was, like, episode one. What have you done for me? And what have you done for me lately? He did some interesting stuff in the first couple episodes, and then he just stopped. He took the helmet off. He's sulking, and Crane got him sitting down. Why is he still out here doing whatever Crane wants him to do? Why does Crane have to psych him up to be Red Hood? He's got to, like, give him a pep talk, say Red Hood. I'm like, yo, this is so dumb. Y'all could have just made him Red Hood again. This is a child. This is a 12-year-old boy. Like, I'm still not convinced that he's an actual villain. And y'all teased that he was going to be, like, the big bad of the season. And he's been mid at best. Mid at best. And his best scenes were in the first three episodes. What is going on in that? What is going on with y'all? Oh, my God. I mean, I could understand, like, if they were doing the angle of Red Hood is the new savior, and they started, you know, he started doing, like, publicly like good shit, like saving people, and then behind the scenes he does some like dark shit, and then they catch him in the act. I mean, because like actually tricking the Titans into releasing the toxin, that's not, and tricking the Titans into blowing up Hank, those are actually pretty good plot points, but the shit is ruined by the execution of all of it to come together. It's just not good. And I hope I'm good. We got like 3 more episodes to maybe tie this shit up, but like, y'all, let's get to the point. Get to the point. Because I'm tired. And Donna should have been in Gotham. Like, she has super speed. She literally could have just run past those soldiers without them even seeing her. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. All right, Dre, you got like 1 or 2 more points, and then we
No, I think you said it all. So I just, you know. Yeah, we can move on to what if.
Shit. Yeah. Get to the point, DC. All right. Moving on to Marvel's What If. What if Ultron won? Ultron, having taken the Mind Stone and Vision's vibranium body, has defeated the Avengers and launched a global nuclear holocaust, killing most of humanity. Thanos appears on Earth to complete the Infinity Gauntlet, but Ultron bisects him. The word bisex. I wasn't laughing because it sounds like a pun of like, not like bisexual sex. I thought it was just like, I haven't seen that word in a while, and that's funny. Like, yeah, Wikipedia writers be snapping. Ultron bisects him. Obtaining the rest of the Infinity Stones. Ultron uses the stones to create a massive drone army with which he wipes out almost all life in his universe. Ultron then hears the Watcher's narration, discovers the existence of the multiverse, and attacks the Watcher in his multiversal observatory. Meanwhile, Clint Barton and Natasha Romanoff, survivors of Ultron's universe, find a copy of Arnim Zola's consciousness in Siberia. They lure Jones there and upload Zola into a drone body to try to destroy Ultron's hive mind. But this attempt fails because Ultron has left their universe. Barton sacrifices himself to allow Romanoff and Zola to escape the other drones. Ultron battles the Watcher across different universes. Losing, the Watcher flees to Strange Supreme's collapsed universe to ask Strange for help. Ultron assumes control of the Watcher's observatory and proclaims himself invincible. This is a good episode. Like, I love it because, like, I always felt like Ultron was so, like, underutilized. Like, at the end of it, like, they just, like, defeated him. I felt like he would be in, like, some like, cloud. He'd be in the cloud somewhere. But, yeah, I enjoyed this very much. I'm like, yeah, burn all this shit down. I don't give a fuck. Like, burn it all down. Run it up. Like, I was like, Marvel has been criticized for being a little too like jokey and shit. But this series, it's like, nah, we can just fuck everything up because the main, you know, we can do whatever the fuck we want in here, you know, yeah, back with the toolbox. What did you like about it?
I liked that they broke the fourth wall. That was really, really cool. Yes. I liked that. Even though, like, you know, I always have my thoughts about, like, non-superpowered heroes. So, like, Natasha and Hawkeye, I was like, okay, cool, like, this is good. But I really, them working together and the way they worked against Ultron was really cool. I liked, and this is kind of evil, but I like how, like, strategic Ultron was. Like, he was, like, so yes. Fucking direct. And just strategic in the way he went about shit. And I was like, this nigga's an evil genius.
He ran up in every nigga's house.
Every nigga's motherfucking galaxy. Nigga took a chunk out of. He just took a bite and was like, girl, that's it. That's all. I really liked just the dialogue between the characters. I really liked the fact that we got to... I guess, learn a bit more about the Watcher, even though we didn't learn that much more. Like, we learned more than we've known, because that nigga just been in the background talking, right? And then when he went up against Ultron, I was like, okay, girl, like, so you got some bite in you. But, you know, I didn't think that he was, like, completely, like, this weakling. But I was like, okay, so there's more, there's a lot more than I thought. So, yeah, it was really, really cool. It was really cool. Probably one of my favorites. Yeah.
Word. I really just love the way the opposites, like, you know, how they swapped, you know, because Thanos, like, ripped Vision's brain out his head. Like, brought him back to life and ripped his brain out his head. And then we got the alternative, like, the opposite, where we see Vision cut this nigga in half like a piece of paper.
Thanos was barely even a blip in this episode. This nigga came and was done. Like, he pops within up within 10 seconds.
He's like, "I am inevitable,"
and that was it, baby. Sorry.
Mm. Hit him with the scissors beam. Say, that shit was funny. Your point about the human heroes existing, like, you know, being the last ones. I think it made sense because strategically you would take out all the heavy hitters first, because like the people are just humans, are just humans, like to a robot. It's like they ain't gonna do shit. Like they might take out a couple robots, but they ain't gonna do shit. So we can just move on. So I was kind of annoyed that it was these two these two humans with no powers. I'm like, I guess. It would make sense that, like, you know, the two without any powers have to be the ones to save the day. I love the fact that when they went to Siberia, and that they were looking for Arnim Zola's like file, and the Watcher was like, Hawkeye was about to give up, and then Watcher was like, "Don't give up. It's right there. It's literally right there." Kind of like your mom, like, watching you look for something and getting frustrated when you give up. I'm like, "It's right there. It is right there. If it was a snake, it would have bit you. Oh, my God. It is the thing you need is right there. I am tired of looking for every damn thing for you." Just, it was funny. Oh, my God. What if they found the file of Arnim, of, they're like, "Oh my God, we found Zola's file," and then they plug the file in, and then all of a sudden you just hear, "Want to hear a story about why me and this bitch fell out? It's kind of long, but it's got a lot of drama." Now, watch every move this white bitch make. We still need to review that, by the way. Oh, God. But after that, yada, 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 you know, the human sacrifice, cry, sad. And then what was interesting was the Watcher, like, getting clocked by Ultron. Like, he was like, "Yo, this is, I don't usually don't do this, but, like, nigga, what is this? Nigga, what? I also love the fact that they had Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher, and because of that, you look closely, he has some black ass lips. Cause in earlier like iterations of like of the Watcher, he does not have that. Like it's just like it's a racially ambiguous dude with a big ass head and like very thin lips, but in this one, like, they actually gave him lips. So, you know, good on the animation team for that. Like it's a nigga voice in the Watcher, so he should look somewhat like a nigga, you know.
Yes, please.
We like that. I just thought it was pretty cool the way they were like jumping through realities and shit, like universes. Like, "Yo, I'm gonna take that. This is mine. Like, yes, please, just fuck all this shit up. I like, please, just go to the ultimate, to the extreme, because you know, like, have some fun with the MCU, because it's been a little too pretty. So, and yeah, that's pretty much it. And well, oh yeah, and then the Watcher is like, goes to the evil Doctor Strange and is like, I need your help. And so I know that like next episode is gonna be fire. And I can't wait for that. We saw they've been teasing in the trailer, like a united like Guardians of the Multiverse. Like they've got, you see the iconic pose of the Avengers from the first movie, but instead it's different characters. It's T'Challa as Star-Lord. It's Agent Carter or Captain Carter, and I think I also saw Gamora wearing Thanos's battle armor, so you know, stuff like that. So we getting ready for like an all out drag out like fight next episode, and I'm here for it. Love it. So yeah, oh my god, we went a little bit over, but we did, at least we didn't get a 30. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, those are the reviews for this week. I think when What If goes on break, I think we should. I love Doom Patrol, but it's too heavy to do every week. So we will get to Doom Patrol. Like I think maybe we'll cover like the first couple of episodes in like groups or something like that. But we will get to Doom Patrol. And I kind of want to do like now that it's October, I kind of want to review spooky movies during the month. So we should never do that. We still need to do Sugar Man. We still owe y'all Sugar Man. So we might do that next. We might do that next week. We might do that next week. Yeah, we were gonna do it earlier, but yeah. Things, stuff, and nope, there is no bus. There is no bus. Not in the 100th episode. So, all right, we wrapping this shit up. We're going to take another break, and we're going to be right back. All right, and we're back with another sample platter for that ass. This week, we are honoring the black rockers in our lives. Lizzo said it best, black people made rock and roll, so we gonna give y'all some black rock and rollers. So, I'm gonna start things off first with a new band. They are from Baltimore. They are a Baltimore self-proclaimed soul punk band, and they go by Nightlife, and they've got an EP called New Low, and on it they've got the title track called New Low. So we're gonna give it a listen right now. I've been in touch with my new low, and if I could, I'd let you know. That's a bop. We should get them on the show. They're giving like black emo. I love it. They're dope as hell.
That'd be so dope as hell. Yeah, that'd be so cool. Mm-hmm. All right,
what you got?
Yes, my first one is and as we know, I'm always the nigga to go for the old songs. And
that's why I love you. We're like chocolate and cheese.
Oh my god. What the fuck? Okay. So so the first song I'm gonna play is by a Mr. Chuck Berry. And the song is called Johnny Be Good. Ooh. Let's go. Listen, they say that black folks were the creators of rock and roll for a reason. If you listen to this song, if you listen to other Deep South, like, rockers, nigga, you will know that niggas created this shit. And everything else is branches off of it. So, shout out to Chuck Berry. Blessed be. Why did I say blessed be? God, Charmed is on the brain. But yeah, so RIP, he died not too long ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yep, and he's one of the godfathers of rock and roll. So yeah.
Love it. Yeah. All right, moving right along to another newer artist. I'm going to save that one to last. I'm going to go with the early 2000 black rocker by the name of Fifi Dobson. If y'all don't know, look her up. Fifi Dobson goes the fuck in. I know y'all like, is he going to play Take Me Away? No. I'm going to play another bop on the album. Venting her daddy issues. Same. And the track is called Unforgiven. I hope you was wrong. Well, let me make it crystal clear for you to see. If you label, I'm sorry. Sorry is a word you like to say. But sorry won't erase the thing you did yesterday. And I want you to know that I didn't need you anyway. And this hope that we walk on its way, yeah. And the type that I want you to know that I didn't need you anyway. You are unforgiven. Yeah, she goes in. Mama goes the fuck in. Love Fifi Dobson. She still performs, like, cause she still got it.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, she still be out here performing.
I love that.
Performing, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, what you got?
Yes, so, you know, keeping it with the female rockers. This artist isn't necessarily a rocker, but she did.
Is it Khalees?
No, it's not. But it's, here we go. No, it's actually Miss Janet Jackson. She's honestly someone who crosses boundaries and crosses genres. So, like, her making a rock song, not surprising, beautiful. So this song that I'm going to play it topped Billboard Hot 100 back in, I think, the 90s? Yeah. So the song I'm going to play is Black Cat. Here we go. Yo, so if you watch the video for Black Cat, wow, Mama had the girls going crazy. Mama had the girls going wild. She switched up her voice for that song. It was very Michael Jackson-esque. The white people were going off in the audience. They loved it. Mama was sweaty. She was singing from her throat. And yeah, she meant that shit. So a shout out to Janet for just like making songs in almost every goddamn genre that exists, basically. So yeah.
Killing it. And even country music,
mm-hmm.
like some to find my lover. That mm-hmm. yep, the country. She got it all. She got it all. That's a country song. All right. Moving on to my last one is Miss Willow. Miss Willow.
I knew it. I knew it.
Oh yeah, the girl. Like yo. She the way that she's constantly reinventing herself over the years is just amazing, and the fact that she comes from like a family of like creatives, like specifically Miss Jada Pinkett Smith, who had mm-hmm. a whole metal band,
yeah.
Wicked Wisdom. She actually did a rendition of one of their songs for Mother's Day, and she crushed it. You know, oh my god, like it's so metal. Just like I love the way you bleed all over me. I'm like, I love your pain, and I'm like, oh my god, yes, 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 yes. Okay, so but yeah, but this is from Willow's newest album, featuring Aya Tesler Mabe, and it's called Come Home. Feeling I feel so alone. I need you right now, baby. Won't you come home? That's how it be. Definitely. Can't stress it. You see, life is a game. That's on me. Oh, I love it. And when she gets a, don't know how to act, you were doing that part of me. I'm like, vocals. Come on, vocals.
Yes. I know that's right.
Love it. Love it.
Yes. So mean? The last song that I have, we're going back. We're going back to the South. We're going back old. This song is from the 50s. This song is, again, another Godfather rock and roll. Basically, to me, like, the pinnacle of rock and roll. Because, one, I love this nigga. Two, he didn't get as much flowers that he deserved when he was alive, but I'm glad he's getting them now. The song I'm going to play is Rip It Up by Little Richard.
Woo!
Come on, let's go. Saturday night and I just got paid. Use my money, don't try to save. My heart said go, go. Have a time for Saturday night and I feel fine. Gonna rock it up. I'm gonna rip it up. I'm gonna shake it up. Well, Saturday night and I just got paid. The way he kicks in the door. Like, I just love how Little Richard don't let the shit breathe. Like, he kicks in the door. Woo! Listen, listen.
Woo!
When Richard was on the track, you knew who was on the fucking track. Mm-hmm. The one thing I liked about Little Richard the most is that nigga was never humble. He knew what he gave to the culture. He knew how he's paved the way for so many people, and so many people weren't willing to give him that, but he was willing to give that to himself. And honestly, a queer icon. Shout out to him,
Mr. Tutti Frutti himself.
Listen, the girls just couldn't keep up, and yeah, like I said, you know, he gave him his flowers so that, like, Little Richard was such a big personality that, like, you didn't not know who he was, even though people didn't want you to know who he was. He wasn't willing to go out like that. So love him. Love the rock that he put out into the world. And yeah, God bless.
Love it. And with that, that wraps up our sample platter for this week. tap in, listen to all these songs at your leisure on Spotify, Apple Music, or in, like, I don't know, the back of your uncle's truck, wherever you get your music. We're going to take one last break, and we will be right back. Right, and we are back now. It's time to reminisce over the plate. Because 100 episodes of this. We started this back in January of 2020. Shit was wild. Like, we were having fun. Like, we were hearing rumblings of a pandemic. We didn't even know what the fuck was going to happen, but then the shit hit. But we kept on going. Like, we were here pretty much every week. Doing the talking about nerdy shit and gay shit and all that stuff. But it's been a fun experience. Been able to come here and just talk shit to y'all. And, you know. Yeah. My goal is to get some big guests, in the next couple weeks. Cause I know we've been a little stingy with the guests, but you know, I do want to bring some more people in here, soon enough. But I love the fact that, I can just come in here and say whatever I want to say, and people listen to it. Really appreciate everyone that's been listening. Dre, let's do this. What is something that you wanted to accomplish last year, like around the start of our podcast, that you actually got to accomplish by this time right now on the day of our 100th episode?
I don't think this is something specifically that I thought that like I wanted to accomplish, but like when we started the podcast, I was like, I want to talk to someone that I admire, someone, specifically a queer black person that I admire. I wanted to like talk to them. There's several people, but I was just like someone. I want to talk to like someone, you know, in the entertainment industry, queer black that I admire, that I love, that I've been following. And when we interviewed Duran Bernard, I was like, girl. To this day, I always say how fucking excited I was to interview that nigga because that was so amazing. It's like a full circle moment to, like, my little teenage black queer self who was still in the closet at the time.
We did that.
Right? That was so fucking cool. Yeah, and it really meant a lot to me to do that because I was like, yo, like, shit is attainable, you know?
Just gotta, you know, ask, like, hey girl, you trying to keep with us? And he was like, oh, so nice.
Right.
Yeah.
That was so cool. How about you?
I wanted to grow a beard. And I did. Fuck the haters. You being one of them.
Listen, I am glad that Lorenzo is calling what he has on his face a beard.
If a lady had this much facial hair on her face, you would call it a beard. So let's not even do that.
I would say, ma'am, you're doing well so far.
Bye.
Keep going.
Goodbye. You mind him?
Oh God!
Did I do anything?
Love it.
And I wasn't planning on doing this at the start of the podcast, but I wanted to make money off my voice, and I've gotten a couple gigs doing voiceover.
So proud of you! Thanks. So proud of you for that.
My voice has been on television, which is fun.
Yeah,
I've been on Audible UK. I still am on Audible UK. check out Tan Francis Queer Icons, the Dorsey Swan episode of the very first drag queen who was a freed slave. Talk about it. I've done a couple things. I got paid to voice Granddad and Oscar on a play for Clubhouse, which is really fun. I got to do a commercial for Jersey, like Men's Health in Jersey. Just a bunch of stuff. Fun stuff. When people compliment me on my voice in public and on days when I don't think I'm great at it, like especially right now, because like my I don't know if y'all can hear it, but my voice is still kind of scratchy from cold / yelling, and I need to work on controlling my voice so I'm not blowing out my vocal cords, because I do like to yell a lot. But it just means a lot when people say that they like, what I got's going on. And I also wanted to make like a solid queer black friend that I wanted no drama. I've made a bunch, but someone that's willing to do, a weekly project with me. And just very humble and just open to damn near anything. And Dre has stuck with me through these 100 episodes. Well, his energy was in the room during all 100 episodes. Let's do that. But yeah, I really do appreciate Dre sticking with us because I do want to hold on to this. I want to keep doing this as long as we possibly can. I do see us, eventually getting video, doing like events and shit, like when I get my life together, like. And more guests, like more big boy guests, or, big black guests. Like I just really like doing this. So, literally, like if I can hit it like $5 million like tomorrow or today or in the next 5 minutes, because I could really use that. I would literally just like put it into the show.
Same.
And we would just do this every week. And just do a bunch of like events and like giveaways and shit, on small things. I do plan on putting the logo on a shirt, because the girls love a shirt, little shirt or like little crop top sort of thing. Gotta put focus in, because like my mental health is still not 100, but I do plan on doing all of these things. I actually want to learn to sing next year. I haven't had the time or the funds to kind of do that. But yeah, that's also.
Nigga, you can't sing? You telling me you can't sing? I feel like that's a lie.
I can keep certain notes, but like I want to be able to like.
There we go.
Sing. Like I want to be getting up on stage.
Okay. Like, all right.
For the bitches. You know what I'm saying?
Shut.
Don't tell me if you had a voice like Miguel, you'd be singing to the bitches like all damn day.
Oh nigga, absolutely. Okay. I said that. Look, God knew not to give me a voice because I would be insufferable.
Look him dead in
I'm not
eyes.
Even joking.
Yeah, with the like
or in the bus.
Eddie Murphy and Dream Girls, like I want you, I want you. You got what I need. Ah, my pussy.
No, but for real, that would be me 100%.
Yes, I would like. An end goal would be to sing to my partner at our wedding, but before then, like the bitch's panties, the jock straps, the lace. The goal doesn't have to be saving the world and shit. But like, girl, like, try to get some extra draws. Like, the fuck? Like, I don't give a fuck.
Listen, mm-hmm. and it'll do okay. it. It'll do it. You know that video of that that people post where they're talking about how singers yeah. will sing everything? Like, when they're sneezing. At yeah. you. Like, I'd be that type of nigga. And I'm not even joking. You. Like, for real.
I know being Duran's roommate would be so annoying.
It would be fun. I'm like, nigga, you gotta teach me.
You ever said that? That feel good. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Just
see, even during that time, see, I'd be ridiculous.
Like, nigga, can you stop? Like, no. Keep on coming. But yeah. But thank you all for listening for 100 episodes. Thank you, Dre, for, you know, sticking by me. You know, even when, a pleasure, as always.
Oh, a pleasure, man. As always.
Even when the Dr. Phil's of the world was like, that's your man? That's your man. And you just calmly said, I stick beside him. Thank you. So, I'm going to give you gulp. 100 more.
Oh, God.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you for listening to Big Boy Brunch. We here. It fucks with it.
Yeah.
Like, I need to rest my voice. I need to ease up on it. But, yeah. We're going to keep dropping heat every week. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to turn on notifications because we drop a fresh episode every Monday for the girlies. Dre, where can they find you?
Yes, sir. I am on Twitter at Exhibit Dre. And I am on Instagram at Exhibit_Dre.
You can find me acting a complete donkey on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, yes.
At Lolo Von Z. That is LOLOVO. N-Z. L-O-L-O-V-O-N-Z. L-O-L-O-V-O-N-Z-O. We should make a mixtape.
I've been telling you that needs to happen.
Okay, we got it. We have... Yeah, I need to get DDM on the phone. Like...
hello.
Yeah, Listen. Because you know he got like 20 beats that he probably got laying around. We could like make a song under 5 of them. That should be probably more.
But probably more.
All right. Okay. We can daydream off the mic. All right. Thanks for tuning in to Big Boy Brunch. We will see you all next week. Watch Digimon Ghost Game. It's streaming now on Crunchyroll. No ad. It's just like nigga, like Digi niggas. It's our time. Our time is now. Power Rangers Dino Fury, the second half of season 1 is dropping October 15th on Netflix, the second half. So stay tuned for that too. No ads. I just love both of those things, and I will, you know, with all of my lifeblood, I will promote them. So, yeah.
Yes, he will.
And you will deal, Dravondrius. Hurricane Dre. Hey, Dre, Dre. Hey, Dre, Dre. That ain't play. That's my song. Turn it out. All right. Thank you for tuning in for Big Boy Brunch. Check, please.